You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Matt Migaki, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians. We talk all about their lives and music while sharing killer craft beers. If you've ever wanted to sneak backstage and share a beer with one of your favorite musicians, well, Vox and Hops is the podcast for you. This week on the podcast, I had an amazing conversation with Morgan Lander and SJ Jones about Kitty Pig. There is this episode and over 450 other ones to help you enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. So what are you waiting for? It's time to become a Vox and Hops head. Cheers!
Yep.
Oh, shit. I'm on
the beat. Yeah.
Shit's hard. Production's still going.
Really? All right. Welcome, everybody, to Diablo's Den, episode number 10.
What up, 10?
Man, I really sometimes I can't believe we've made it this far. So it's been a fun journey. I'm your co-host, Jay Reason, and I am here with the one and only Lord Ezak, Danny Diablo, and Lord Jewish holding it down.
What's up, Lord Jewish?
Lord Jewish Star of David.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to say we have two guests. One's running a little bit late.
But we have one guest right now.
We're going to start with our one guest, who is one of my really good friends and one of my favorite early 2000s bands. My boy from Axe to Grind, Tom Sheehan.
What's up, Tom?
What's up? Thanks for having me. Thank you.
At some point, I think we're going to be joined by Gavin from Burn.
Breaking through that wall
through that wall. We're hoping that that's going to be any minute. But we're going to kick into the show. So you know how it goes around here. We always start with the first and most important thing, the guy who helps put the show on for us, Oak and Crow Coffee.
Oak and Crow Coffee.
So huge shout out to our boy Jake for always helping make this happen.
What up, Jake?
10 episodes in and he's still taking care of us. So I want to remind everybody, please go over to oakandcrow.com, use the discount code DMS, and you're going to save 10%.
And go get my Diablo's Dark Roast Coffee.
We want everyone to go out and get
that. How many people you know have a coffee company?
That's what I'm saying, see? So everybody go out, check that out. If you have any questions on shipping.
Coffee line, whatever it's called.
Or overseas shipping, definitely hit up Jake. He's willing to do anything, and we're really excited to have him on board as our continued
Thank you, sponsor. Jake.
So thanks, Jake. All right. We're going to jump right into today's show, and usually how it goes is we're going to start off around the table. Just talking about all the things that have been going on and what we're listening to and what's happening. So, Ezak, why don't you start off with what have you been checking out? What are you listening to? Watching something? Anything?
You know what? I've been drinking iced coffee.
Good shit.
I've been drinking a lot of coffee lately because I've been, like, really hustling and working and just, like, getting old.
So a lot of iced coffee to just get you through the day.
Yeah.
So instead of music, just fueled by iced coffee.
Music. I've been listening to a lot of Sade.
Yes. She's great. I love her.
She never ages.
What about you, Tom? What do you got?
What am I listening to?
What are you listening to? Watching? Usually we jump into anything checking been out.
That Griselda record is really good.
I don't know that.
Dude's from Buffalo. Like hip-hop trio. Amazing. I got the new Mind Force EP that they did.
Oh, no.
Ridiculous.
It's not out yet.
It's not out.
Okay.
So the summer. But it's dope. And I started watching that show, Hunters.
The Nazi Hunters.
Did you watch that?
No, Al Pacino's first TV show, right?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I don't know. I got like 3 episodes
My boy Mike Mabone told me he loves it. But
it's pretty rough, but some of the stuff they do is like...
It's very comical to like comic book stuff.
Yeah.
It's but it's just like Tarantino.
Yes,
style,
they do like
right?
the intros of each character, and it's like... Here's the Japanese dude that's like this, and here's the Foxy Brown looking lady, and here's it like, but it's good, it's brutal, and just hearing those stories again, you're like, fuck, man, this actually happened, like this is like a fantasy show, but this shit happened, but
it's crazy,
talking about how like all they moved to like Argentina,
Brazil,
and they got to States,
all South America, that's why you got like these German like models from fucking like from like. Brazil, right, right. Blonde hair, blue eyes with the Nazis.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I gotta check that. What's that on? It's on Amazon.
Voice from Brazil with Steve Guttenberg.
I gotta check that shit out.
Say,
man.
What's up?
It's cool. It's like a 10
Nazi hunting.
First show was like 90 minutes.
Oh, no,
it's
shit.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's Al Pacino.
Hey, there he is.
What's up? Hey.
All right, so Gavin just walked in. We're just doing, you're just in time.
For the intros.
We're just doing the intros. We're going to keep going, so I'm going to plug what I'm listening to while Gavin gets set up. So
we're just going to watch, be like,
yeah, we're just going to watch.
He rode his motorcycle up 10 flights of stairs.
I walk into here. Yes.
I like the color coordination.
Good.
Looking good, bro.
I decided to come all earth tones.
Earth tones.
I'm going to plug two things that are Connecticut hardcore, Jason. Because
right.
You know me, I can't just, I love my state so
203.
Much. So I'm going to start with Dominion 18. Have you heard of this band, Tom?
I know it's Jay. PETA and some dudes.
So Jay and a couple dudes from Connecticut, Laid to Rest. Right. Really just heavy hardcore stuff. They just put the demo out. It's dominion18.bandcamp.com.
All right.
So check that out. Really cool. That's cool, great. Heavy hardcore. And then, of course, we got to show love to the guys in Hatebreed who just dropped their new single a couple weeks back when the Blade dropped. Shout out to Zeus, Josta, Wayne, all those guys. They just announced their huge tour with Parkway Drive.
They're playing arenas and shit.
And Knocked Loose is opening that. So it's amazing.
They've been playing arenas, man.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
This is a big tour for them, for those guys. So it's an exciting time for Hatebreed and Hatebreed fans. So we're really excited. So, Gavin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you,
man. We have Gavin. It's all good, man.
So, Gavin?
How you doing, Dan?
Good, how you doing,
man?
Good to see you, bro.
I can speak up. I'm sorry.
All right. So, Gavin.
Voice is sore. I've been doing a podcast tour all afternoon. So.
We're excited to have you on, man. We're just doing the rounds. We're just going around talking about what we've been listening to or watching lately, anything current. What have you been getting into?
Watching. I've been, I just get into binge watch, mode when I do, I've been watching this judo cat Shintaro on YouTube a lot. He's a New York guy, judo legacy guy. Everybody knows I'm into martial arts. I teach martial arts, and he's one of these people who I think keeps stuff really, really simple, really, really pure. Listening wise, lately, Spotlights. Absolutely. I saw them. They just played at Brooklyn Steel with Bungle, which I didn't go to that show. I went to go see them at Elsewhere, and I've seen them a bunch, and they're kind of. If My Bloody Valentine was to play metal and do steroids.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's very interesting to me.
It's a, they're,
I like that description.
You know, they aren't your normal hardcore fare, but I also consider that anybody who listens to only hardcore has some problems.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You
have to have a varied palate, for sure.
That's for all hate DMs. That's GVV Strong and IG. Go ahead. Yes, I said you have some problems.
That's awesome. I want to talk about real quick. So, Ezek, you just finished a couple weeks back.
What?
The movie premiere, Priceless.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? You had Peter Green, who was episode number one guest there.
Peter Green and I basically have the main character.
You know what? I love Peter Green.
Peter Green was the devil, which he really is.
Yes.
That's not. That's
wait. He took the title from you, or
wherever. Listen, Peter's a great actor, but he's not acting.
I have a really awesome Peter Green story from when I was in Los Angeles. We were hanging out at Crazy Girls one night, and we were out front. And this is when I still smoked. We're having a cigarette. And we didn't think about it. We're both all wearing black. And we're standing there, and people start coming up to us and giving us their IDs. And everybody keeps looking at Peter going like, you look familiar. He's like, get that all the time. Get that all the time.
Peter was our guest on episode number one of Diablos. Then it was a crazy episode, and it was a whirlwind thing that I just...
Yeah, he's so... I love you, Peter.
I love Peter. Big shout-out. Thank you for doing
show. He's back in town.
He's back in town.
Yeah, he's back in the neighborhood. Yeah, I see him around. Yeah.
How are we going to be able to see it? Is there any... do you have any details on how the movie's coming out, or when we could see it?
It's going to be doing the... the festival circuit.
That's okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, George, just check it out on like a website.
When I get the link, I'll put it out.
Okay.
Since we're plugging films we've been watching, Last Buffalo Hunt by Phil O'Leary.
What's that about?
It's basically It's real life. It takes place on the res, and it's basically talking about how basically these people have been so stripped of their indigenous culture.
So sad.
If you get a chance to check that out, it's called the Buffalo Hunt, and it's by director Phil O'Leary. He's someone I've known for a long time, and it's really interesting watching him go through. He's gone through these several changes in his life over the past 5 years, and really watching him expand. Like, he just did 4 months in Tibet.
Is it on streaming?
It will be streaming. Right now, he's getting he's got to go. I think he's getting an award at Cannes.
Awesome.
So wow. He's like, yeah,
I'll
he's
have to check that out.
Yeah. He's getting a lot of accolades for something that was for him was a pet project. It was something that was like it just felt like something to do. He just started filming something with there's this I don't quite understand it, and I should because it's part of Mexican culture, but the Caballeros, they do this ride where basically it's something like a 48-hour ride. And they just—they don't get off the horses. They don't.
Oh,
and
shit,
he did it with them. And it's
I'm not down with that. Yo, Peter, bro, save the horses.
The other thing too, just you've got a bunch of shows coming up for Crown of Thorns, right?
I can't announce it.
Well, not that one. United Blood.
United Blood.
That's it.
Where's that, Virginia?
Yeah, so I'm going to plug that.
Virginia.
Yep. So there's a bunch of shows
that's
coming up.
That's a Confederate. down the Confederate state.
So our boy Foster, really good friend of me and Tom's, does United Blood in Richmond, Virginia, which this year has Crown of Thorns playing original lineup, right? So you're real excited about that.
I'm really excited.
Has Crown of Thorns ever played Virginia before?
Yeah. I played a few years ago. Crazy! I don't even want to talk about that, but it's a great, great show.
Okay,
the craziest thing ever happened to me. But yeah, the people out there are really nice.
Yeah, so shout out to Foster and United Blood. So catch that April 3rd and 4th. The lineup is insane down that area. They got Converge, Cold World, War Hungry, Vane, Mind Force, Outburst, Crown of Thorns, Never Ending Game, and there's a ton more bands.
He's like just said craziest thing that ever.
And no one.
You know how high the friggin' bar is on that?
I thought the same thing.
You're all going to let that just go down the plate.
Here's the thing I'm going to tell you.
Wait, what?
As Ezek's co-host, I know when not to ask and push and just keep
going to the
next topic.
Dude, my nipples are hard. I don't want to hear about this shit. Yo.
I can't
get the after dark podcast.
That's a Patreon. That's what. Yeah.
That's a Patreon.
Yeah, that's
episode.
It. Oh, shit. You gotta pay for that.
My fans only.
craziest thing that ever happened. I remember being on the last Burn tour and hearing about him down in South America, and we were just going like. What he's gonna come out like Che Guevara?
Shout out to Chile, all my people in Santiago,
like
Chile.
Between Che Guevara and Jim Jones. It's like you know, it's like
not to jump too far into the Burn thing because we are gonna talk about that. But I wanted
to say
no,
we're not. No,
okay. No, we are. No. And I wanted to talk about
you three.
22 years though, almost to the date. You guys played a show for me. I booked in New Haven, Connecticut.
Yeah.
So it's just so coincidental that here we are, 22 years later, like literally to the day, and I get to interview. So I'm
just
so excited.
As broke.
But speaking of both Burn and Crown of Thorns, we have the Diablo Fest announcement as well. So Friday, May 15th at the King's Lane. I have it right here. We have.
Thank God for you.
Friday, May 15th at the Kingsland, the Diablos Fest, which is always a big deal for us, especially here at the podcast. So we're kicking off Black and Blue Weekend, always with Diablos Fest. We got Scarhead, who's doing the
Dreams Don't Die cover records. Awesome. Or covers. We cover like Warzone, Killing Time. So we're going to do.
So is the whole set?
I don't know. We're going to pick like the best 8 songs.
Sick.
Okay. Then, and then you want to go out? Who else?
Then we got my boy Gorilla Nems, one of the best battle rappers. He's killing it now. From Coney Island. So I got my boy Rose Flush from Queens, who's an old school like legend. And I got the Flatliners, first hardcore rappers. Then I got Concrete Dream, which is like rap rock, which I signed to E-Train Records. Then I got Preacher Man, who's like Black Sabbath and Cedric Entertainer and James put together. It's crazy. A guy can sing, his girls, his wife's on stage, and they can sing, and it's amazing.
Awesome.
Then you got 1865 with Sasha Jenkins.
Right. Shout out, right. Sasha.
I just heard Etta James and Black Sabbath put in. Freaking intrigued.
Then we got Butterbrain, which is a white album. It's very funk and hardcore. Then we got Vigilante, which is my boy Vampiro, the wrestler.
Oh no shit!
Yes, that's awesome. Hey, Gary. He teaches a crowd. He's like a master
Krav Maga.
Oh wow! Right.
Yo, so he's a cool guy. So he's coming out. So it's gonna be really weird people. And DJ Clay, ICP's DJ. I'm flying him out to DJ with Joe Fatal. So it's gonna be like Juggalos.
You get tickets at Generations. Hard tickets there. Yes, tickets online now.
Just come up.
Come hang out. Kingsland is a great venue.
Absolutely.
Nice Tom people. And I have gone there a bunch of times. Yeah. It's going to be a great time show, especially if you're already coming in for B&B Bowl. Come in the day early.
Oh, yeah.
Come to Diablo's Fest.
That's a pre-party.
Pre-party. Hang out and get, you know, have fun. Hang out with Ezek. Hang out. I'm going to be there. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff.
I'm going to be just focused on...
Gavin is playing day two of Black and Blue Bowl. And that takes place at the Monarch, which I haven't been. Tom, have you been to the Monarch?
No, I think she had never played one of the first shows there.
Okay.
It's a newer venue.
Same owners as the King.
Shout out to Chip.
So shout out to him. So it's a crazy lineup. I think the weekend pass is already sold out from what I've heard. So you got to go get him online. I'm not going to go through the whole entire list.
Online is sold out. Only physical. So you got to go to Generation.
Shout out to Mark at Generation.
New York Hardcore Tattoos.
Lotus Tattoos and stuff like that.
Lotus and Joe Rubino's place.
The haircut place.
Yeah. Two Kings. Yeah.
Day one is like a who's.
Ice Cold Killers.
Day one is awesome. Shadow. He's got Sick of It All, Agnostic Front, Murphy's Law, Crown of Thorns over here, which is going to be sick. Sub-Zero, Combustible Screening Order, my guys from Connecticut. So shout out to those guys. The Fight, Rule Them All, and Apparition. And then day two, we have Gorilla Biscuits, which is going to be sick.
Yep.
We have our almighty Burn here with Gavin. Madball, Shutdown, Death Threat, shout out Aaron. Doing a PC security set, which is going to be sick.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So that's going to be cool. Awesome. Wes has been filling in on those shows for Boulder, which has been great watching Wes play that.
What up, Wes?
No Redeeming. And then a whole bunch more on day two. So you guys can check all that shit out online. So. All right, we're going to jump right into the main part of the show here, and I want to kick it off with Tom and Ezek, because if you listen to Axe to Grind, which is Tom's podcast, you will have hopefully listened to the Diablo's Den episode that Ezek did not come to because he was tripping ass. Do you remember that?
Two of the people at this table have appeared on Axe to Grind.
So that was a great day because I was.
And which one was on contraband?
My bad.
But
it makes for a great story.
I can only claim residual.
It makes for a great story, but I love that we finally got you guys together because I've been wanting to do something with Tom and have Gavin in. So let's kick it off. So, Tom, what have you been working on? What's going on with.
Podcast.
Well, you have Indecisions coming up, right, with a show?
We are playing with Grill Biscuits next week. I don't know when this is coming out, but the 28th.
This will be out Wednesday.
Where?
Long Island. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's like Restraining Orders playing, Mind Force, Constant Elevation, which is Sammy and Vinny from the movie
Shout
Life.
Out to those guys, love those
Austin
guys.
Grill Biscuits.
Oh, those guys were big at one time.
Yeah, great band.
The movie Life,
But yeah, so that we're doing that and maybe some stuff over the summer, hopefully.
Really?
We'll see.
Interesting.
Yeah,
you guys have been playing like
once or twice.
Mind Force is playing that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them. They're great. I heard great things. It's funny because it's like, I know
we talk about them so much on our podcast.
I also respect because aren't they the band that also they kind of like shy off of playing with older bands?
Why?
They're older dudes themselves. They look all mad young, but they're super.
I think that they actually kind of turned down some shows. Were Sick of It All because they're like, we're trying to like, well, they're trying to build something. And I here's the thing.
Is that too old?
No, I talked about this with Craig and it's like, here's the thing about it. Like being in a band like Burn where, you know, I try really to stay as relevant as possible. I don't want to be taken, you know, like the reason we did the whole new record, I don't want to be taken as a nostalgia act. I don't dig that. And I dig it. I totally respect when new bands come out. They're like, no, we want to build something. I think that's really fucking cool. I think it's fucking awesome. I think it's ballsy as shit. Because a lot of bands could jump on and be like, yeah, well, we're just going to fucking, you know, it's the business model that has been proven to work.
Yeah. Right. What do you think about that, Tom?
Well, I mean, I think it definitely happens. So if you go like, hey, Judge is playing, like the reunions, it's super easy to be like, I'm just going to jump on that, play in front of 2,000 people. And then
they're like, fuck that.
You know what I mean? Or be like, I'm going to hustle and build my own shit.
They were like, fuck, they're too old.
Yeah.
Anyone over 32, fuck that.
We're all fucked.
Any show where they have to keep a defibrillator backstage.
Damn.
Oh man,
that's hard, man. That's hard. No, but I think it's cool. Like, you know, that if you feel like you want to make your own path without having to rely on that, man, much respect, because right. There's so many other people who, like you said, would just go and be like, I'll just play those shows, or I'll wait till that's available.
Right, the new reunion's back, and then, you know. But then you're playing in front of 40-year-olds that are sitting there not interacting with the band, or like it just kind of...
Afraid they're going to blow out a knee.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is that something you worry about, Gavin? No. Hell no.
Look at him.
I know. Well, that's why I want him to...
No, even if I was, I wouldn't give a fuck about blowing out a knee.
He wouldn't let you know. He would sit there, yeah. He'd flamingo it, like one leg up, just chilling, fucking playing guitar.
Yeah, because that's... Tell us a little bit about the strength and conditioning stuff that you work on. Do you do a lot of that stuff before going to play shows and...
You do knee bends?
Yeah, exactly. No, I see. Here's the thing. I'm a fitness everyday guy. This is physical culture to me. It's something I do on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It's my life, you know. And it doesn't mean that, oh, I'm out there fucking getting after it every day. Some days maybe I'm making feeble attempts at yoga. Maybe I'm like just doing some fucking movement.
Right.
You know, but fitness is something that like I find that, especially the amount of time that I've put on my body. And I'm not saying like, oh, working out, like the amount of, I mean, I was a professional athlete. I was a competitive athlete in several different sports. So I've got a lot of damage. So there's a lot to really rework that. And let alone I came into that out of being just a street skateboarder, which, I mean, you talk to your average 24-year-old street skateboarder, they're already fucking, right. Their ankles and knees are already fucked up. So it's like, for me, it's very akin to, like, say if you're riding across a country on a bike, you're going to have to stop and, like, re-chew the tires and, like, make sure the pressure's good and, you know, adjust the handlebars. And that's, like, that's what I mean by every day. Like, physical culture to me is something – it's something that I – it's
just built in.
It's the center of my life. You know, without having that, everything else in my life kind of spins out of control.
Were you always that disciplined growing up into that, or was it something that you –
Very focused.
It's focused. I hate to say it's, like – People say it's a discipline. It's almost like an OCD to a point. Because here's the thing: I'm also very, very out about my alcoholism. I'm a huge fan of drugs and alcohol. I just haven't used in 18 years. You know, I mean, I will straight up say that tequila and cocaine. I did a very low level spiritual search on that for a long time.
This is the podcast for that. Yeah,
you know, and
what's going on?
But yeah, it's like. But the thing is that I held up. I mean, how do you think I kept the size on by holding up such a fucking facade for so long? You know, so it's like, I can train almost like I would jokingly say alcoholically. Like, oh my god, well, you know, like I just recently, about 3 months ago, realized that I haven't competed in almost 15 years. And I still would have times where I'm pissing off at myself about not doing two-a-days.
Wow.
Which is something like competitive athletes do.
Right.
Now, not just competitive athletes. I'm a 52-year-old man, you know. So it's kind of like, yeah, fuck you, kids. you know, it's you have to be a little bit more forgiving. And now it's things like yoga, Pilates, things like that, movement. I mean, I still love getting after hitting weights, and Craig and I, you know, do pad work. He's one of my favorites.
He's good.
Craig Sitar is one of the best.
Shout
boxing
out, Craig.
Coaches.
We had Craig on. Craig was a great guest. He was on.
Craig is one of the best boxing coaches I know. He's very intuitive. He's as passionate about boxing as he is about his
science.
Music. Yeah, he's very scientific about it, and him and I train together, and it's just because we've known each other since we're kids. Yeah. You know, and it's just one of those things. It's like we bond over.
How did you, going back to just the touching on when you guys were not touching kids, because that just sounded fucking
that
really
was,
weird.
Wow.
When you guys were younger, like, did you and Craig first start going to shows together? Or how did you get into the hardcore scene?
I met Craig when he was in Straight Ahead, and he basically first was in, he was in Youth of Today.
Yeah.
Him and Tommy Carroll. And because I knew Purcell and Ray.
Awesome.
You know, and like, you know, like Parmeninda, Purcell, and Raghunath Ray, like we always, like we have this weird karma where we're always in each other's circles in one manner or another. And I don't want to call it weird. I think it's great because like we've had our ins and our outs, but I consider them friends, overall. Yeah. And it's like, you know,
cool.
And yeah. And it's just one of those things.
Co-workers.
I met them. I met Tommy and Craig through... through Ray and Purcell when they were in Youth of Today. And, you know, Craig and I just always hit it off. We're always just
he's
like,
funny.
Like,
how can you not?
Craig is
one of the sweetest
he's
cats.
So Queens. He's so Queens.
So fucking Queens.
Bell Boulevard. We'll get some pizza. Yeah.
He's so Queens. And he's just such a good fucking cat.
He's cool as hell, man. Yeah.
Was he always a boxer? Yeah, or did he get it from Tommy?
No, him and Tommy both got into it kind of the same time. Yeah. Tommy, I think, competed a little bit more than...
He was like Gold Gloves or something.
Yeah, Tommy went Golden Gloves. Tommy was badass. Tommy was badass without even having boxing skills. You know,
he goes to 42nd Street. I used to go there, and I'd see him, I would box. It'd be him, and guess who would be over here? Mark Gastineau.
Oh, shit.
Mark Gastineau.
Tommy also was one of those guys. He didn't need a martial art. He was always
he just had the skills.
He was always just that dude.
He's like a white trash warrior.
Yeah, he's just a bad cat, man. He's a bad cat. Tommy is like a very... If you get on his fighting side, that's a fucking scary piece of real estate to be on, man. I'm telling you.
I used to go after hours. He's a bouncer. I used to be like all coked up talking to him.
I'm not going to mention all the names here. I'm not going to mention all the names in this scenario, but I watched the ultimate of what I would call hardcore unity when you had Paul Bearer and HR from the Bad Brains trying to haul him off of porcelain someone's nose up into their brain.
What happened?
Not going to mention names on this. People who know. But you know what?
Paul Bearer and HR together?
Wow.
Yeah. At CB's.
I feel like we need that story, right, Tom? A little bit.
I feel like I might know the victim.
Yeah. No. And
if it's the story I heard.
And this will lay right there because this will infuriate a lot of people, but facts are facts.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, you know, Tommy Carroll hadn't been around for a while, and it was at an Underdog show. And someone was like, "You fucking long hair in the pit." And it happened to be Tommy.
Oh,
Carroll.
I know.
That's the story.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So that's, you know. But that was like Tommy is
bad dude.
Tommy is a
crazy Irish motherfucker. Yeah.
Iron worker.
So Irish.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like a tall Irish crazy.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you want to see a give and take bat like, just I watched a video of Tommy against this dude, and this guy would hit Tommy like one time hard, and Tommy would hit him back like four or five times. And this was in the ring. Jeez. And this was back like Tommy was wearing these gloves that was just like they were so flattened out that every time he hit this dude, it was just amplified. It was like pop, pop, pop. And you could feel it through. It was like, oh my God. And he was so fast.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the thing too, is that I think Tommy's just thuggish. Craig is more of a scientist on it. Craig's very much about angles. Because the thing about also is that Craig got thrown in with guys who are really tough and really like who are fucking bruisers, you know, like semi-pros and pros. And they would kind of like, and this was when Craig wasn't such a big dude. Craig had to get really wily about his angles and how to step
off. Smart.
And the thing is, you don't get a lot of guys who know that shit who know how to teach it.
Right.
No, yeah.
Right, you can just do it.
And Craig knows how to teach it.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know? Like, he comes into my spot and, like, I mean, we're dominantly with Muay Thai, but we have a heavy boxing curriculum. And he'll work with my guys, and they always come away with, like, something like, wow, that was really cool. And it's kind of funny, too, because a lot of people don't realize who he is until afterwards. And someone's like, hold it, that was the bass player from Upper, you know?
A lot of hardcore kids at the gym, that's for sure.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of hardcore kids at our spot.
Were you playing guitar before you started going to shows and stuff, or how did you get into it?
Yeah, I got into guitar, I mean... My first, like, I always loved the guitar. I thought it was really cool. But then I ended up, like, really young at a Waylon Jennings show.
Oh, sick.
Wow,
like,
cool.
I was
that's
like,
cool.
I was, like, 7 years old. I was kind of cool. My mom was an alcoholic. Ended up in a roadhouse bar, you know, like, 7 years old. But it was loud guitars. And that's all
it
was.
Up in the car?
It was, exactly. Yeah, it's better to be left in the parking lot, right? Exactly. But
he has his music and his the windows are cracked.
But I went in and it was loud guitars, and that's all it was. Right. It was like loud guitars, and I was like, "Wow, this is cool." So, and that at that point, it was like I went out. There was a local record store which didn't have a lot, but there was always, you know, there's the kid that works at the record store knows what the fuck is
right.
Puts you onto
things. Put me onto it, like, you, oh, you want loud guitars here. This is called Black Sabbath.
Nice.
You know, this is called Rainbow. This is called, you know, here's the Ramones. Here's the Stooges, you know, and it was like anything loud. And I think that's probably, I mean, for me, I'm, you know, it was, I'll get into this last night. I'm New York hardcore Uber Alles.
Right.
You know, I'm a New York hardcore kid. But I'm also like loud guitar Uber Alles.
Right.
And it was funny because anybody who didn't get a chance to see The Refuse last night and see what Dennis said about New York hardcore, how he grew up in this little town in Sweden, and where it's like people were telling him, you're not going to be anything, this, that, and the other thing, da da da, you'll never go anywhere. And he goes, but I had this love for New York hardcore. And it went through this whole thing about how, you know, New York hardcore, basically, you know, The Refuse, who were a huge band.
You know why they're big?
Big influence.
You know why they're big? Right. Because they're not from New York hardcore. No one in New York hardcore gets big because the New York hardcore curse.
What do you think about that, Tom?
It might be right.
I'm telling you, I'll prove all you guys.
I know. We've talked, but I want.
Do you think they self sabotage? You think we all self sabotage?
No, it's like every time someone big.
But hold it,
makes
hold
it.
Because
you
Tom,
just said sabotage. I got a
Beastie Boys. But they had to go rap.
No, they ate it all. They took all of it. They took all the big. There was no big left for anyone else.
So like we talked about, Murphy's Law should have been literally the biggest band.
Yeah, but he would have died if we got a big check. He would have died the first year.
I'm kind of glad that.
Jimmy?
Yeah, all right. If Leo Cohen gave him,
we would have Jimmy's head in cryogenesis right now.
At Niagara, just be like, yeah.
I mean, that was like the first thing for me was like, because I grew up in New Hampshire, it's like country and western.
Right.
Sure.
You know? My mom was from Flatbush, Brooklyn. So I grew up around a lot of jazz and a lot of blues also. So it was always just music.
It's everything.
You know? It's everything. And it's like I said, it was like, you show me someone who's like, this is all I listen to. And that's.
Yeah,
to me, here's the thing in my life, like with physical culture, I get guys like, oh, my life is only about Muay Thai. Those are some people you don't really want to be around. they're not the fun person at the party, you know? And that's the thing. It's, you know, you have to, you know, the Prophet RZA said it.
Right.
Diversify, motherfucker.
Are you and Tom from the same neighborhood in Brooklyn at all?
I'm from Sunset Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not from Brooklyn.
Okay, but you...
No, I'm in Bushwick.
Okay.
I'm from New Hampshire.
Right.
New Hampshire, it's kind of like Brooklyn.
It's like northern Brooklyn. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Except that gunshot sound was Iron Lung from Scissor Fight with a shotgun. Shout out to Scissor Fight. God damn it.
Scissor Fight.
People talk about that band all the time.
I have not heard that name in a really long time.
Dude, if Scissor Fight had any idea how much of a fashion influence they would be in Brooklyn.
Beards, long hair, flannels,
and toques.
Yep.
Yeah.
True.
they set the bar. Lumberjack chic.
Oh. It's true.
It is true.
Lumbersexual.
You know what? People like get so mad at the hipsters. I'm like, yo, listen, business is booming.
Yeah.
People aren't getting killed.
Yeah.
Everyone's having
a good time. I have a kid, so like, back in the day, like, fuck this. But now you think about like, I don't want my son going through the same shit I went through.
No, and there's like places to eat now.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Not bad. No. Yeah, it's pretty hard.
The world is different, and it's for me to say something like that, it's like, when you get older, you understand what's really important and what's like, I should have just let go a long time ago. You know, but then again, you know, some things.
Dude, I'm glad. The same thing of being a father, like my kid, New York, modern New York has allowed my kid to be a way better human being than I am. You know, my kid has not had to do the grit that we kind of we went through a lot of things, and it allowed my son to become more intellectual at a quicker rate than I was allowed to be. I was a fucking, come on, I was like a Neanderthal until I was.
Yeah, but you're a smart guy. You always been like self-taught, smart.
Yeah, but here's the thing about it, and everybody talks about like, well, you know, you don't get in the situation. I was raised from an early age. I grew up in a fucking swamp, so moving to the Lower East Side wasn't much different. I went from one fucking wilderness to another wilderness. So for me, it was like building a camp was building a camp. That's like the place that I live in right now, the Sixth Street compound. You know, we opened that as a squat in 1989. I know a lot of people have heard this before, but back then squatters thought we were nuts for opening up where we were.
Yeah,
you know, but it was fucking, it was crazy. But I'll tell you what, the crazy that it was at that point was it was a matter of respect crazy. It was a matter, we knew all of the local drug dealers, and it was like, it was safe for our people because we were from that neighborhood, you know? Right. And I mean, there's been certain factors, certain things that happened. Like, I think it was probably about 15 years ago, and it's tragic. It's a tragedy that happened on Clinton Street where this girl, she basically didn't stay in her fucking lane, and her boyfriend got into an argument with a guy. She stepped in between him, and he told her to get the fuck out of the way. She's like, what are you gonna do, shoot me?
Yep.
Don't ask a stupid question.
Wow.
That's the thing. It's like, motherfuckers don't know. Whoa. But people, and I'm not making light of this, but people don't know.
Of course.
It's like, there's, when you're not in your home territory, when in Rome, act accordingly.
Yep. All over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No matter where the fuck you are at, act accordingly. Because you don't know, and it's not about it. And this is coming from, you know, a full-grown adult male of the species at 225 pounds. It doesn't matter. I'm not bulletproof.
Right.
You know,
I tell people all the time, I forgot what Rampage, the UFC guy, was in Brazil, and his boy was a football player, and they said, don't go outside, you know, don't go through things. Right. They went out, you know, they got beat down, the other guy got shot and killed.
Oh, shit.
And, Rampage is a fucking ill motherfucker. Yeah. But you know how it is.
Yeah, Quentin's no joke. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing him when I was in Los Angeles, and I was fighting in Los Angeles, and this was before like the whole UFC became what it is. There was still like the ring of combat and all this, like, and he was a terror.
Yeah.
He was like, I was like, oh my fucking God. Right. Like, you know, guys like him, you know, like guys like, you know, like Tate Fletcher, guys like that were like, you know, scary.
Yeah.
They're like trained to kill you.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
Well, these dudes are, you know, they train every day.
But when you're dealing with, like, when you go to Brazil and you're in the favelas,
yo,
fuck,
shit ain't cute.
Yeah,
I tell people everywhere you go, all over the world. First of all, being from the United States, people think like, oh, we have so good. Like, there's other places. They're like, well, the cops. I see people and I say like, fuck you, cop. And I'm like, what? In Brazil, a cop was shooting in the fucking face,
right, leaving the street.
They shoot little kids because the kids are so bad, so fucked up. But that's what they do. Yeah. You know what I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they would hunt. They hunt kids.
I've been all over the world, and it's like so like. I know when usually I'm with the guys who are street guides, but I'm saying, but like I watch, I don't. There's some of these dudes I see to a big mouth, like, yo, shut the fuck up, bro. Yeah. You don't know what can happen here.
There's always someone tougher, no matter where you go.
Like real fucking mob guys, I know. Like, and it's like I always tell people all the time, like, it's like people, everyone thinks they're tough, and when they're younger, like tough, whatever. The guy, I know a lot of people, and like, there's a dude from my neighborhood, I'm not gonna say his name, but he's like, this guy's like 75. He has an ankle brace on. This guy's fucking, he shakes down bakery still.
This guy still moshes.
No, I'm just saying, people, bikers, all that, like, when, I had green lights on me, people, I'm like, whatever, I don't give a fuck. I'm not, but this guy, when he looks at me, and that Scam and I laugh, and Vinny Ali, we laugh. I told my girl and her father, said, when this guy, old man, looks at me, I'm like, oh shit! This guy probably has 18 bodies. He don't give a fuck about anything. Like, he don't give a fuck about tattoos. Yeah. And he looked at me one day. He told Scam, he goes, "What the? Why is his fucking shirt off? Get him off the block."
Get off the block. I was like, bye.
I'm just saying that's like neighborhood things. Like,
but that's the thing. Like that's, I mean,
I learned
again. And it's not to romanticize, like, because a lot of people do get romantic about like the old New York,
right?
But I'm quite honestly. Being who I am right now, it's like I fucking love my life. I mean, it's like I've been through that shit. I've been through that shit. I don't want anybody else to have to go through that shit. I went through that shit, and hopefully I'll be able to teach somebody something so they will not have to do the shit I had to do to get to where I'm at, you know? Yeah. And but, I'm not trying to, like, turn myself... I'm not anybody's fucking hero, you know?
You're my hero.
Yeah. My hero, too, a little bit.
But it's... I'm not... But that's... It's not about that. It's about making a better system, making a better plan, you know? 100%. There's so many opportunities out there to do great, great, great stuff. Yeah. And right now,
for sure.
I mean, quite honestly, with the current political climate that we have, we're going to support living artists, support living musicians, you know.
Let's talk a little bit about music in particular, too. I want to ask specifically about the first Burn EP. I'm sorry, I know I keep bringing up Burn, but that record to me was a very important one. I know Tom, to you, too.
Wait, I'm drowning.
I also got to record with Don Fury, so just a lot of memories. They're like, what do you have... you know, memories of recording that EP and it coming together and just...
You do realize I was on a lot of drugs at that time, right? There's not many memories.
Just trying to get...
Great
to
sound at the production. The thing is that's so dope. Kids,
yeah. Well, here's the thing about...
The thing is, Gavin, like, kids from my era, like, we... You know,
they
we
went to Don Fury for
yeah,
stuff like that.
We went there because your record was done there. So it's cool to sit here now all these years later, and while there might not be memories, just look, even
think,
looking back at it.
I think what
you know?
It was like there was an urgency on both ends of it from the band and from Don. Because we had a limited amount of time. Because you've seen that studio.
Yeah, we were there with the rat cage with the
yeah. I mean, and it's like there's a limited. We had a limited amount of resources to do what we needed to do in a really limited amount of time. So I think that urgency is there, and it's things. And it's not. I'm not at all putting the Burn EP on the level of these things, but it's the similar recipe of the Bad Brains cassette. The Cro-Mags demo, the Victim in Pain, you know?
Yes.
Yep. There's a capture of urgency, and I think it's something that makes, like, purest New York hardcore so fucking beautiful. And I'm a fan of layered production, and I love some prog rock shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. But there is a beauty to that that is so, you know, just, I think... intrinsic of the culture, and I think Don captured that
for sure
beautifully, mm-hmm. beautifully well. And I think it also, I think by the time
it holds up so well, yeah. still, right, Tom? I mean, till this day,
100%.
I think by the time he started getting with things like Gorilla Biscuits, to where you had someone, it wasn't just Don kind of corralling. Like, you know, you got the, like, Burn, you have, like, four fucking kids. You're putting them in a room, and it's like a flaming cat ranch, you know? Wherefore, with Gorilla Biscuits, you have someone like Walter, who is so
amazing
and calculating and understands, like, he knows what he wants it to sound like, and he knows how to get it there, and he knows what to draw from the person to get that. And I think once you got that involved with, and that's what makes... that Gorilla Biscuit stuff so fucking good.
Yeah.
Walter's a genius.
Yeah. I hung out with him last night. It was just fucking, it was great.
He's a funny guy too.
He's such a sweetheart. He's another guy. He's just such a good dude.
He's done so much cool
he's
music.
He's like the New York hardcore David Bowie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really is.
Moved to Berlin.
I would
I
would put him more on a level, on a level of a Peter Gabriel. You know, because I think Bowie was much more about the spectacle, where Gabriel is much more about the sonic. And that's not taking anything away. I'm a huge Bowie fan.
Yeah.
But I think Walter has this gene. I envy it. And I've worked with him before on stuff. And it's just so cool to see his process.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those things, like, if I was ever in a band again, I would... He'd be like a dream dude to work with, you know.
But someone else who's like that in a similar way, and again, bringing up spotlights, I worked with, on the last Canonized record, I worked with Mario Contreras. And Mario is like, so he's kind of got that same method. And it's interesting to see people, how their methods are and how they work, like, you know, the different ways. Like working with Travis Bacon, you know, I did some recordings where I got Tucker Rule from Thursday and Manny Carrero from Glassjaw.
It's a room
of beautiful monsters. You know, that's what it is, especially with Travis Bacon as an engineer on it, and it's just such cool stuff. And then there's stuff I did for Canonize, which is, this is all unreleased.
Some hard stuff to Canonize.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it.
No,
it's cool.
I recorded some stuff, and I'll tell you what, man. There's a studio up in Burlington, Vermont, run by Uriah Hackney of the Hackney family. These guys are punk rock legacy. Uriah Hackney can get fucking sounds. Yo, homie is, he lives in that room, and he is so fucking good. He's so good. And I will urge anybody to hunt him down to work with him, because, like, let alone the vibe in that studio is awesome. And a lot of it is down to vibe. You know, and he is someone who just understands sound.
Right.
You want an engineer who understands sound, yeah, how to layer it, you know, really important.
You know his brother, Bobby Hackney.
Bobby Hackney.
Oh,
he was in a band called Common Ground.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his, like, relatives were in the band Death.
They were in
like
Death.
OG punk band.
From Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's them.
Yeah, those guys. And that's one of the things. For the longest time, I've been trying to get them on shows with Burn, but promoters are reluctant.
Why?
But more, I don't know, more mature promoters will put them on fucking, they'll put them on fucking MC5 shows, for fuck's sake.
Right.
You know, they'll put them on, and these are guys that are looked up to by like Ian MacKay, fucking Jello Biafra. These guys, I mean, Rough Francis is a fucking dope band.
That's awesome.
And I don't think they get anywhere near the credit that they should get, you know. Yeah. And I think New York is a market that just really needs a band like that.
Can I ask you too about why isn't the Absolution stuff on streaming? Got a lot of people asked me. I told them we were talking to you today.
Oh shit!
I mean, this stuff is so sick.
I mean,
I don't.
It's on YouTube, but there's not like a.
Well, because Temperance put it out, right? Reissued everything.
Temperance put it out, and then we did another EP with another small
this
label.
So hard.
I would talk with Gingy about doing it, but Gingy's right now, and Gingy would probably be pro doing it. He's just not pro playing live shows.
I don't think it necessarily needs live shows, but Tom, back me up on this. Is that this record 100%. Needs 100%. To be on stream? Like, I will help you get it on.
Let me
broker the deal.
Here's the thing.
10% off the top. Right?
I do not clear anything without clearance of my brother Gingy.
No, of
you
course.
Know, and. Like, even though I know he refuses shows, because right now his DJing thing is taking precedent. He also owns a gym, Soulbox, in Miami, cool, which is really good. Anybody in the hardcore scene who wants to get involved with boxing and martial arts, go check out Soulbox.
Shout out to Soulbox.
Anybody down in the Miami-Dade area, go check it out.
It'd just be cool to have it on streaming. It doesn't necessarily have to be tied into like a live show.
No, absolutely. I will talk with Gingy, and if we can make that happen, let's push that forward.
I'm just happy to help corral it and
put
do
it
the
together,
work.
Yeah.
Just
for the culture. For the
me
culture.
And Tom and talk about this. Yeah. You know, and again, when I posted saying that I was going to have you on it, I got so many people going, ask him why the Absolution stuff's not on streaming. And I was like, all
right, I apologize for that, but it's like, you know, like I said, my life is kind of like right now. It's kind of like it's like juggling flaming cats.
Right,
I have
right.
a lot of flaming cat analogies. Yeah. By the way.
See, cats on
I
fire.
Get it. So
cats on fire. That's my new band. Cats on fire.
I think that's like a Netflix documentary. Don't burn the cats.
Yeah, but if there's enough call for that, fuck it, we'll do it. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, I think
it belongs. It deserves to be heard by a new generation of kids.
I'll tell you right now. The first time I heard that record, I was like, what the like, it was just crazy. Like,
see, that's one of the things that I do love about hardcore is that the kids.
It's like going like this constantly.
Yeah.
Like,
kids do their research. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the, and being like, you to me, here's the thing. You can't be a New York hardcore kid without understanding your roots
right.
and
yeah.
your culture.
Totally.
You know, and here's the other thing, too, is that you kind of can't be a New York hardcore kid without having a love of hip-hop.
Well, I got to say, that's one of the things, you know, I love about Tom's.
But this is, I'm getting to my gripe. Don't get in the way of my gripe. New hip-hop kids, yo, man, don't tell me you're into hip-hop if you don't know who the fuck Cool G Rap is. You know? If you don't know who the
Corona
fuck,
Queens,
you don't know who the fuck Public Enemy is.
But there's dudes that don't even know who Nas is.
Exactly.
Like this young cat. Like,
yeah.
It's
and that's the thing.
Joe
like,
Fatal found
you know,
Nas.
There is.
Shout out to Joe Fatal.
Yeah, there is.
I saw Joe Fatal in 1992.
Joe
really?
Fatal.
Did you hear that?
There's no sustainability.
He played Roseland.
There's no sustainability in ignorance. Okay? Yeah. There's no sustainability in ignorance. Okay? And if you look at golden era hip hop, a lot of that is what they did is they brought up old go-go beats, old funk beats, and stuff that influenced them from back in the day, stuff that they grew up on. you know? So what you're telling me, if you don't know who that are, those people are, that means that you kind of didn't grow up around music, which means that you're not into music for music's sake,
yep.
Which means to me, I don't hate, but get the fuck out.
Well, that's what I like about what you guys do with Axe to Grind is like, so, you know, with their podcast is they continuously, on top of just showing everybody new bands, they continuously tell everybody about classic bands and Crown Thorns, and it's a cool way because the demographic. I'm talk a little bit more about that, Tom, like just how you guys got that together and how you cover all the things, because it's really cool, and I think just how you cover new bands, but also like what I was saying to you offline is like getting people into like Crown of Thorns again and all these bands that maybe, you know, young kids, they don't just doesn't fall on their radar enough. You guys presented in such a new light that, I mean, we've seen I check the sound scan after every episode they do.
He's my plug for the sound scan.
And we've seen it. I mean, literally, like, Tom, talk about it a little bit.
Well, I mean, you can talk about the sound scan stuff because I still don't understand it. It's math. I have no fucking idea what's going on.
But you've seen the jumps. Like,
All I know is I have a gold record in New Zealand.
That's wild.
And I got the transplant shit has to go gold. So Travis Barker, Scare Rob.
That's amazing.
Tim Armstrong, that record I'm on. I want my gold record.
talk about Axe to Grind.
I want my gold record.
Talk about Axe to Grind, because I do think that's cool how you...
Yeah, I mean, like, we just started it, like, kind of not expecting it to do anything, you know?
We had so much fun when we did
it. It was awesome. We literally did a podcast after the podcast in Patrick's bedroom. Gavin was like, it was like 1:30 in the morning. We're just like, and then another thing about this dude. And then fuck that guy. And then this. And then that. It was just like, I'm glad the microphones are off. But we had like the After Dark podcast.
I think it's awesome too that you keep went from the band to do the podcast thing. Like, I honestly had not really paid that much attention to the podcast space all that much. But
yeah, same. I mean, it was one of those things. It was like the dude Patrick had hit me up and he was like, "I want to do a podcast with you. I wanted to be like Joe Budden."
Yeah.
But he wanted me to be Joe Budden, like the cranky dude that hates everything. But meanwhile, I'm the dude that likes everything.
Yeah, he's more like the heel. Yeah.
Right. So like I'm Rory, and he's like, you know what I mean? Like,
I wanted to see him and Ezak together, which we're gonna do an Axe to Grind. We'll do it again.
But I mean, it was just like one of those things. We started doing it, and then we started doing like.
Do you consciously make an effort though to try to reframe some of that old stuff, like some of the stuff you like? You know, to present it more like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, if you don't see, there's like certain bands that I grew up in and like in Brooklyn and all the stuff, seeing like Marauder and all the stuff.
Right.
It's like the first bands like with Minus. You know what I mean? I'm like a 16-year-old. I'm like, I got beaten up at the show, man. Like, you should totally check this shit out. Like, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, a lot of kids, sometimes they we all have three different opinions.
Right.
You know, so they go, well, you know, I usually like what you like. If you like Mind Force, let me check out Leeway.
Yep.
Let me check out this. Let me check, you know what I mean? And they get into other shit. And like,
yeah, there's so much stuff.
There's so much great music out there,
that I think is cool. Like, you know, like there's so many bands I would never hear about if I wasn't paying attention.
Like newer bands or old bands?
Do both.
That's awesome.
I mean, there's just tons of stuff that like I've either missed.
When you were playing, you guys had your own little scene.
Yeah. We weren't really part of that. It's kind of weird. As a New York, we were like a legit New York band that weren't like.
Talk a little bit about coming up in Brooklyn and like in beat. Like, again, interacting, like, from
shit.
That position, you know?
No,
like,
you know what? Queens beef over
y'all,
here.
Y'all,
Queens,
y'all
baby, Jackson Heights all day.
We were weird. We were weird.
You were too smart for your
surroundings. I loved Indecision, man. It was so...
We were weird. I mean, we played with Crown Thorns. I mean, I got two good stories. I got a Gavin story and an Ezak story.
Yes, I want to hear both the Ezak one first and the Gavin.
All right, so the Ezak one.
Oh,
we
God.
Played together. No, it's all good. It was great. It's really funny. So we're playing together at the Wetlands, right? It's like us. It was like Sub-Zero, Fury of Five, us, and Crown of Thorns, right? Me, I'm like 22. Justin's like 19. We go, all right, we're going to take the shot. So we're talking, whatever. And we're like, who writes the stuff for Scarhead? And you're like, I do mostly. And we're like, so Snickers. That's Wave of Mutilation, right? And you're like, yo, you caught that, didn't you? It's a fucking... And you were like, oh, you found that, huh? And I was like, all right, so we didn't get killed for saying that. And I was like...
Listen.
But I didn't... You know what I mean? He was like... And you're like... Because we knew you liked...
Yeah.
Like, so, off the beaten path. Like, you weren't just, like, fucking killing time. You know what I mean?
Why, like, where I grew up, like, where I grew up, people know me on the streets. So, like... It's just funny. When I see people, I go around the world, I'll be in fucking... Chili and I'll bump into fucking Juju for the Beatnuts, and we grew up together. We're like Les and I went to high school. Sasha Jenkins and I were best friends. Yeah. Elliot Wilson, Rat Radar. I went. These guys used to play ball, destroy these guys. I was like, and I was like a hardcore kid, and being mixed and stuff like that. You know, it was just crazy. It's like, those guys think I'm crazy.
Pirate culture, motherfucker. Yeah.
That, like, that's why I laugh. And that's why, like, when I bump into, like Necro, they all know me. Like, we go around, we get so much, like, respect all over the world from every music. It's cool, but it all comes from, you know, going to fucking hardcore shows at CBGBs, you know what I mean? And just mixing with the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, I know so many people, Haitian Mike, what's this, the Slaughterhouse? I know him from with my man Coopy. They used to do stuff, street shit together. It's like, we always talk shit because, like where I'm from, people know what I do, where I'm from. So it's like funny when people say crazy stories. I'm like, hey, guys. People think I'm like 6'6 and tattooed and fucking like steroid. I'm like, hey, what's up, guys?
Share your Gavin story.
Yeah.
So speaking about you being sober and everything, we talked about this before. Yeah. So we played a show, Most Precious Blood played a show in Philly.
Yeah.
With Burn. And we were the first band. Some people are fucking weird. They won't watch your band. So everyone peaced out. So there's like maybe 10 people watching us, two of whom are Vic108. And my boy Gavin right here.
Nice.
This motherfucker starts heckling us.
Yeah.
So, but like in like good naturedly, I'm like, well, number one, I ain't gonna say anything to this dude. Right. So I was like thinking, I was gonna make like a Die 116 joke that don't like, you know, like we'd be like, yo, Thurston Moore don't tip or something stupid. And I was like, this dude's gonna fucking knock my head off, so I'm not gonna say anything. So like years later, I was like, yo, you fucking heckled me in front of like a crowd of people, man. And you were like, it was a dark time, man. That was it. I was like, no,
hold on. You just admitted yourself. It wasn't really a crowd of people, dude.
Well, I mean, 10 people. 10 people is a crowd, right? No, I mean, yeah. It adds people every time I tell the story.
Where did you get the Most Precious Blood from? What?
We Indecision had a song about it, and it was just like a Catholic
thing. I played for Most Precious Blood Baseball.
No shit.
Yeah, so that's why.
That's a
morbid name for a baseball. Is that a Little League
Most
baseball
Precious Blood and Elm Jack. There's two from Queens.
Wow. That is a... Catholicism is mad morbid,
right?
Dude,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck off. Catholic. Oh, for, yeah.
But you guys put Indecision and Most Precious Blood played with like everybody.
Yeah. It was
so you obviously played. Did you cross paths with Burn? Because like Burn.
Yeah. I mean, we ripped off Die 116. totally. Like.
Die 116.
Amazing.
All art is theft.
Yes. So we owe you.
All art is theft. It's okay.
Like we played with the Beatnuts.
Yeah.
Lemoyne's.
Oh, nice.
Wow. That's a great show in a cool venue.
It was like
Lemoyne's. Oh God!
It was the Bush Babies, the Beatnuts, Indecision, Doggy Dog.
Doggy Dog was so big, man, big.
And
but Doggy Dog was like they weren't big. It's like them and
Roadrunner big.
Them, like, yeah, them and Prong. Like
oh wait.
Yeah, them and Prong.
Prong,
New York Hardcore Curse. Like Prong,
but Prong. Prong would play, listen. And Prong was amazing. Prong would play to CBs in front of 20 people.
Shout out to Tommy Victor Queens,
yeah, but
baby.
Then they would go to fucking, they'd go to England and be selling out venues.
Yeah.
You know?
New York Hardcore Curse.
Yeah, it's Prong. It's like...
open up a Savage.
That's true.
And no one cared.
That's true.
That's fucked
well,
up.
Well, snap your neck or whatever. No. That was that one.
Helmet bit the whole shit.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, Helmet.
Insane.
Helmet was Prong and cargo shorts.
Yeah.
Dressed nicer. Yeah, that's about it.
Prong and Ill. Force Fed is the illest shit. It was such, so ill, they put it out on a French label. It was ill.
Such a great. Prong was such a great. Tommy Victor is just a great.
Yo, he's funny as fuck. Yeah,
he's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. He's
Jason Christopher plays bass. What's up?
Very cynical. Is Tommy playing? Is Tommy playing with a? I know. Ministry, well, Jason's right? playing with Ministry right now. Is Tommy playing in Ministry?
No.
Because Jason's playing in Ministry.
Really? Right? Ministry's another. That guy was fucked up when I was young.
But I talked with Jason the other day because like, we hit back and forth. Jason's awesome. Jason's rad as shit. Tommy's like.
No, that guy, he's
someone, like, dude, for years.
Three-piece.
The sound man of fucking CBs.
CBs, yep.
Yeah.
You know? Tried and true.
But I'm saying, the Hardcore Curse. Type O negative. Well, he dies. It'd be like, true. Like, as Carnival. Yeah. I'm saying, like, everyone that I know, I got the curse. I got signed to Travis Barker. I got signed to fucking Tim Armstrong. I got $40,000. And I did so much cocaine and whores, but I set up shot on the West Coast. We have a DMS chapter.
I'm waiting to hear where you went wrong.
I went wrong with
$40,000. Okay, delegated amongst women and contraband. Okay, then what happened? Where
Lawyer how fees.
Could, how could that well, you got lawyers involved.
That's what
you got. I just see, litigation just sucks money. It's
I had to pay $2,500. It was supposed to be $10,000, but my this guy's from my neighborhood. My boy's a cop. The guy who wants to do your case. I had four felonies.
Who the fuck did you hire, Salino and Barnes?
I had four felonies, and it went down to a disorderly conduct.
Oh, shit.
I had to pay $2,500. I was like, yo, peace, nigga. Yeah.
Nah, nigga. Well, good money. That's money well spent.
Money. It's just like, I'm telling people right now, like, just, it's not worth it, man. I keep saying that, but like 6 months ago, I keep getting stabbed every year. Still, I don't listen to it. I miss you. It's like every year I'm like, you know, growing older, but sometimes I just like, fuck this shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, I'm tired. I can't take it anymore.
No, this is the year we're gonna focus it. We got stuff worked out.
I need a life coach from the guy. We're gonna pay you. Come around me when I make money.
Me and Craig.
You and Craig. Oh, me and Craig. I'm torn with that guy. Oh my god.
Me and Craig. Craig's like a life coach of like Customato.
Good old Customato.
So have you been getting ready to like practicing for these Black and Blue shows with Byrne?
I never remember any of my songs.
Not me either, man.
We haven't been rehearsing. I've been practicing at home.
Last shows you guys did were a couple of years ago already, right?
Yeah, I mean,
we played the Wild Things.
Do or Die was
yeah.
What year was that, Tom?
2017.
Do or Die was 2017. Yeah, we did our last tour. We came back from Europe, I think.
It was quite hard. Years,
yeah, you guys did
ago.
A lot. That was a
we
great
did
record.
We did a heavy duty tour cycle, and it's weird. It's like, here's the thing too, and it's like, it's always.
Deathwish did a really good job too with getting that record.
Those guys
shout out to Jake
did such a great job.
Man, that record was everywhere.
They're so fucking awesome to us. But it's kind of like, and this I think is a hazard of me of that Chalk and I have is that we're so like kind of like forward thinking on shit.
A couple
that oh absolutely that, undeniable. That we're
shout out to Woodside
like,
Projects.
People like we'll put stuff out and people won't get it for like
yeah.
Like maybe years. 2 years or so. And like recently I've had people coming like, oh my God, that Do or Die record. So I'm like, where were you when we were doing on tour?
That bothers me.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. Like, well, Die 116.
Where the fuck were you?
Yeah. Die 116 is like, and I'm not trying to be like.
Profound effect.
I'm not trying to be like, you know, like, oh, we're you know.
Shout out to Josh Gabrell who mentioned Die 116 to me too.
But yeah, it's just like if people like after the fact posthumously like, oh, that band was great. I'm like, man, you know, it's like we're still gonna play shows. It's like, you know, we're doing this show. Chalk is mad excited about it. I'm very excited about
it. I'm excited to see you guys.
Yeah,
at that.
I like the chemistry, guys.
Yeah,
I know it's your marriage. Yeah. Make something like,
I mean, like I said, going back to that show 22 years ago, you know, I remember getting that call from Tim Bohr, and he was like, do you want to book this show for Byrne? It's a reunion show, and it was I was like, I didn't even wait for the rest. I was like yes, let's do it, you know?
I had some crazy times.
Because we were supposed to do, it was supposed to be a live record on Revelation that they...
Yeah.
That never came out because like, I think the sound guy at the tune in like fucked up the
fucked
recording.
Royally.
Right?
Oh,
can you tell me really quick? Because that was my
Chaka was fucking heartbroken over that because Chaka.
That was
really...
my club like growing up. So yeah. Like, yeah. We were so excited. And then Chaka went through
a lot of painstaking like as to like make sure that would happen. And I remember we came off the road and he's like, where's the tapes on this? Where's the tapes? And he gets the tapes and he goes, and he's like, they're fucking, what there was unlistenable.
Yeah, dude, it was, they had Ace do it, who was like this old guy. It was, right. The lineup was In My Eyes, Fast Break, Voice of Reason, and Byrne.
Perfect.
And you guys, we were so excited. And they played a couple of songs multiple times and we were like, could not wait for this fucking record to come out.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Songs that hadn't been recorded yet or hadn't been released yet. I'm sure. Like a ton of it. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And, yeah, that was tough. I mean, thankfully I was well insulated in drugs and alcohol, so I really relaxed into the crash of that one.
But I was
underneath
so...
the bar at Vasax on 7th and B.
I was always so grateful to catch Byrne, like because obviously, like I had just gotten into shows after you guys broke up and stuff. So it was awesome to not only book that show, but then to see the band and then. Again, so you guys still doing new records like the Do or Die, which I thought was fucking amazing. I thought Kurt's Kurt Ballou,
Kurt Ballou
the production is
so
sick.
Fucking fun to work with. He's such a fantastic nerd.
The title track, Do or Die, I like a lot with the, like, yeah. That super tribal. Like, yeah. That shit's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that, like, I mean, I wrote that record in a matter of, like, it was kind of like, I have a particular MO of working when I write. Like, I will pick, I'm an early morning creative guy.
Yeah.
I'll wake up at like 5 o'clock. Take out the dog, have coffee, sit down, and boom. And then I'm like an hour and a half straight to the book. And this is, here's the thing about it. Anybody who's trying to write songs and is like, oh, you can't write songs. Don't fucking wait around for fucking inspiration. Inspiration's for fucking, for lazy people. Inspiration's like, oh, I need to be inspired. That's such a tarlet of shit.
Right.
Fucking you, be a blue-collar fucking musician. Get to work and fucking just create. Because you'll start something on Monday, which you're not going to be a fan of. By Friday, if you stick to it and you commit yourself to the work, you'll come up with something that fucking works. That's my own process. I'm not one of these guys who's like, yo, I just get in the studio and spit. To me, I don't work that way. That's not my shit. I want to have control of the piece. I want to see it grow. I want to watch it form. Go ahead.
My thing is, I'm always good against pressure,
like a deadline.
Like,
right.
I was like, how long? And like, I was like, 3 days. I got that. Lock it. Cocaine, right. Whores, and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, I'm there all day. You get people going crazy, but I get it done.
You know? What about for you, Tom? What's the writing process? Like, obviously, you guys haven't written in a while. Yeah, but I mean, what was it like?
Just if talk, I remember 18
just
years.
Just talk about the cocaine and the horse.
There was a lot of, yeah. Me and Justin do a lot of coke.
I'm a change man.
Two straight edge dudes do a lot of blow. Drink a lot of Coca-Cola and just – no, I mean, same kind of thing. It was like, or we'd come in with stuff, or we'd like just keep going and fucking until it,
yeah,
you turn it into something, yeah. That's good.
So the segues into,
well,
something.
That's the thing. Right. Is like, people don't understand, like, okay, if – like, let's take New Morality. For those who know New Morality, yeah. The song New Morality, that beginning of the riff, that – that was the Absolution intro.
I always liked the way you guys did, like – like, it go one way, and like, it,
yeah. Do we turn it around?
Almost like how Candiria.
True.
Took that kind of writing.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
Well,
we
got it.
All based off a sick drummer.
A lot of people are like, oh, well, so on, so forth. Yeah, Candiria bit you. No, we all bit Vinny Appice. Vinny used to do that shit all the time. You know?
Right.
Drummers like
Shout
him.
Shout out to Rocker Records.
Yeah, drummers like him. Neil Peart, for God's sakes, Neil Peart would turn a beat around like, no.
He just died.
Yeah, I know.
Rest in peace.
Shil E.
Love Shil E, man. Yeah. Crush Groove.
Yeah, Shil E. Yeah,
you know, shout out to, yeah. Well, rest in peace, Wallona, for Good Times, the first one I jumped off to. Out, yep. I love you, Wallona. Janet,
yeah.
Report.
It's like, if damn. You listen, and I know someone's out there going, like, what the fuck, Shil E? Yo, Google that shit, kid.
I love Shil E.
Yo, bless yourself. Bless yourself. You know, exactly.
The glamorous
life. Groove.
Yeah.
Crush Groove.
Listen to the beats. You don't have to agree with the lyrics, but if you're a songwriter, listen to them. You had Tito Puente. All that stuff. Yeah.
He's illegitimate daughter of Tito Puente. That's what they say.
She's insane.
You know, it's like, you can find inspiration in anything, but don't wait around for fucking inspiration.
No.
Just get the fucking work.
Just get to it,
yeah. Work with different people. Don't be like, well, these guys only go one engineer,
one lane,
and they don't talk to anyone. Like, I work with everyone. Like, I'll go to the studio, me and Muggs will be up fucking doing stuff, mm-hmm. Then I'll go to Stack Selector, then I'll go to fucking Sick Jackin', you know, right. Juju and Les will make beats. Like, it's, right. It's like, then I'll go in and do with me, Adam from Lords of Brooklyn, we do the guitars and everything. It's like, I love putting the music together and getting people.
And you got to just be, you got to be prolific about it. And the thing is, that don't wait for it. And here's the thing: a lot of guys from our era waited around for, like, oh no, the song doesn't sound right. Here's the thing: the song is never going to sound perfect to me because I hear something, and it's going to be perfection is a fool's chase.
Right.
Okay. But this is one of the things that I love, and I love this about house music, and I love this about hip hop, is that you can release a song and then you can remix it and you can change it up. Like, if you listen to like the first, like Annie Up, which is like, you listen to the original version of Annie Up, ain't nothing like that fucking, the one
the
that's
Busta Rhymes
version.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like,
true.
That's a calling out high into that video, right?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's things like that. You can always go back.
Shout out to Fame.
And the artist should always have the ability to go back and recreate that. you know, or rebuild or strengthen that song. You know, that's just my personal
opinion. And you kind of did that with a lot of the older Burn stuff that made the LP.
Yeah.
Right? You like got to like – and even when you play them live, they're different.
Yeah, I think a song should be allowed to grow. Right. You know, like anything. It doesn't – like people get really caught up in like, oh,
people get mad.
Sound exact. What?
People get mad.
Sometimes I – people get really mad. You know what I really get mad? I always got mad at live recordings. I don't know why. I'll be like, yo, what the – especially the band that sucks live. I'm like, fuck this. I don't want to hear this shit.
No, it's true. But I mean, I think a song should be allowed to grow.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and I think also, musicians, musicians should be, should be able to fucking put out a record that maybe isn't good and not be slaughtered for it.
Yeah.
Because that happens. People are like, oh, that record sucks. Fuck them forever.
And then it's totally written
off. You know
off.
Why? Yeah. Then 4 years from now, you'd be like, oh, that record is amazing. I don't know why. Why? Well, like exactly,
but that's the thing. But the thing is like,
happens all the time.
We were at last week at
American Nightmare,
and Ceremony played.
Right.
And Ceremony, like the first time I heard Ceremony, I was like, oh, they sound like
Infest. They were a hardcore. Yeah, they were a hardcore band.
Right.
And now they sound like New Wave.
Now they sound like Devo.
Yeah.
And I think here's the thing that I think that the younger generation is much more forgiving and much more allowing in that factor.
Oh, I said that. Like, I said that to Tom. Right. I was on Axe to Grind. I mean, just to talk about my band, The Distance, for a minute. We were did a straightforward hardcore record, but then did kind of a more rock.
Yeah, but you were more a little swag, a little emo too.
But it's funny because now bands do way big more commercial type stuff than we do, and it's like they're so people are like, oh, this is so fucking amazing.
The dude from Ceremony was up there with a keytar.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Yeah. It's
like legit.
It's crazy. Yeah,
he like a Herbie.
Show me the body. He has a weird band.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, I love Show Me the Body. That dude is like
he's talented. That kid,
dude, he is punk rock. He's hardcore David Byrne.
He's
hardcore David Byrne. He is. On that level.
I love them. They played. We played with them.
Yeah, it was freaking.
Their shows in Connecticut are crazy. They did like a warehouse show. Yeah, they're huge. I never heard of them really till.
But here's the thing that I love about them.
Shout out to Show Me the Body.
And people are like they call people like they're a hard. They're a New York hardcore band, and people are like, well, they're not hardcore. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Well, they play crazy shit, bro.
Don't put our syllabus in a thimble.
Right. Right.
Do not. You know, it's like, that's like saying that Crucifix is a hardcore band and X is not a hardcore band. Right. They're two totally different bands.
Right.
Two totally different sounds. That's like saying the Adolescents are a hardcore band and Discharge is not a hardcore band.
Discharge is hard.
And they're both fucking awesome. You know, that's the thing. Hardcore has become this expansive, you know, it's like the two, and this is one thing I love about New York City, is that we have helped to create two of the most influential styles of music, you know, with hardcore and hip hop.
Yep.
Okay, but we have to give credit where credit is due, to where hip hop would not exist really if you didn't think about Go-Go, which comes out of DC.
At DC.
And hardcore would not exist if it wasn't for D-Town, fucking for Detroit.
Right.
For the Stooges. The Stooges were hardcore way before hardcore. And I know everybody can go like, oh, well, Johnny Cash and blah, blah, blah. And there's like Simpsons Link Ray and blah.
That's
the original Mock Part.
Absolutely. But the thing is, it's like, you know, the influence that these two styles of music have had is just so just mind blowing, you know? And it's to be even considered part of that little blip.
Yeah,
it's the Rev
classics. Like the Burn record is right. Yeah,
you guys. It's funny because it's
like on the first wave of Rev records. That's
Rev,
one of the stages.
Rev guys, like it's so weird because that's the whole world I never understood. That says like I go to California,
right?
And I walk into the
scene. See, to my generation, because those records were what was available, like that and Victory.
You
it's like those were the ones that we were exposed
Victory
to the most.
Victory records.
But you know what I'm saying? Like you could go to Sam Goody and get. You could get Burn or Gorilla Biscuits and a Warzone or Earth Crisis and Strife Wars. Like, you might not find a Profile or a Triple Crown record, you know, or
that's
something
true.
Like that, which was...
Yeah.
Triple Crown.
Label mates. You and I were label mates back then.
That's
remember?
True.
I was a label mates with Camp Low. Who else? I was label mates with African Bambaataa. We're all the same labels. So it was just crazy.
What label was that?
Profile.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah, so it's like it was just
Another Planet, right?
Another Planet.
Yep.
Profile.
Right.
Records.
They did all those. Yeah, those reissues were great.
All the reissues. Yeah.
And the Sunday Matinee.
The two-in-ones, remember? They did like
Fred Feldman, yeah.
Yep.
Smart.
Awesome,
man. Well, you want to talk Sunday matinees, we got to put a shout-out for Drew Stone.
Shout out Drew Stone.
Drew is on our show.
Yep. Please smile more, Drew.
Drew is doing his due diligence at Niagara. I went by that show. I walked by the other day because I live in that neighborhood, and there was all these new kids.
Yep. Young
kids.
Awesome.
New, young, really fucking just exuberantly happy, fucking just psyched to be at a punk rock show. It's so good to see that because I get sick of the sad faces. You guys like, man. And no, I'm going to go out on a limb here again. Gavin was out on a limb. Danny, will you just send out some tequila and some cocaine to the end of the limb? But here's again, if you're going to a hardcore show and the hardcore show is the only thing in your life that is any good, we are not doing right by you. Okay? This should not be a hater culture. This should not be about like, oh man, this is all I have. No, this is something that you have, and this is something that is awesome.
Sounds special. Build on that.
Right. Special. Build on that. You have a great community around you. You have, you know, like that's one of the things that makes the hardcore scene great is that we have this community. We have these friends. You see, and I love it when you see someone who's like wearing a fucking, you know, wearing an Indecision shirt. There's a flag. Go talk to that kid.
Right. Well, that's what I was saying about the Axe to Grind, you know, Tom's podcast. Like, there's people
that
I'm friends with.
I appreciate that.
I'm just saying.
You're plugging that shit. I like that.
They have a group, you know, and again, it's one of those things where it's like I've connected with so many younger kids that I'm able, like me and Ezek are talking about one of his new projects for later in the year. And it's cool to just be able to get an opinion from a group that's so much younger than me. So it's cool
that all those. Cross-section of everything.
You're young.
Yeah, and yeah.
But when you think about it, like to me, there's already two generations below me of kids. You know, like I was just talking about. There's a legacy Connecticut band that I'm going to help do a reunion show for, and I can't say it yet because we haven't signed the contract yet. But the opening, but you know, one of the bands that we'd love to get that they're going to probably open is Anxious, and I don't know those kids. They're like so much younger than me. They're like three generations.
They're like 22.
Was it Pale? Horse.
Oh, Pale Horse. Shout out Pale Horse, Connecticut. But that's like my generation. Yeah. So even since then, like now, like what'd you say? Anxious is like, what, 20-year-old
Probably 22,
kids? Like
maybe.
I went to a show the other day. I go to two or three shows a week. I'll go to anything Connecticut. And it gets me excited because just like that, I feel like between like what you're saying with streaming, with podcasts and all these things, it's like there's so much knowledge available versus like when we were just getting into shit. This was all that was available. Whatever, like you said, going into a fucking section of records and it's like here's your five victory records things. Where now it's like, dude, if you want to become a fan of something or knowledgeable on something or you want to discover that Before Burn was Absolution and there was all this stuff and that's why I think going back to the beginning of saying like, hey, this should be on streaming because there are kids who are going to take that path, learn about that shit, you know what I'm saying, who want to know more about
crazy streaming.
Right.
Nobody
needs LPs anymore.
The whole thing is crazy.
But that's the thing is what I want people to get over is the hating on success and people being like,
hate.
Yo, fuck, fuck that dude, yo, he's doing. Wow, this is going down back to the flaming cat ranch.
God damn it.
Real quick, Gavin, where can everybody catch up with you online? What are you working on?
My focus right now is really Physical Culture Collective. That's my gym.
What's the website?
Is www.physicalculturecollective.com. That's also Physical Culture Collective at IG. You need to reach me direct. It's GVV Strong at Instagram. DM me if need be.
And then we're going to catch you at Black and
so
Blue.
So well spoken.
At Black and Blue, coming up. It's going to be awesome. Also, Burn NYHC. Burn NYHC at Instagram. Also, I gotta put this out there. Also, Chaka just released a new song, new Ghost Decibels tune.
Shout out to Chaka.
Check that out. He's at Ghost Decibels on IG. Send him some support. Freddie Alva's putting that record out.
Awesome. Freddie Alva.
Yeah.
Jackson Heights, baby.
Yeah, and what was the question?
What else other than the Burn Show?
Oh, I was going to say, so next time we'll see you on stage is the Burn Show, right?
With the Burn Show, yeah. I'm not putting Can, I've no desire to put Can and I's on stage this
year.
Okay, so just I've had some awesome, awesome offers. But right now, it's like, the thing is with Physical Culture Collective, it's
that's
not
the main.
Just, yeah, that's the gym, that's the dojo. It's not just about, I have a crew of trainers that are really dependent, that are dependent on me. I've got employees, I've got people that they work there, their job.
Yeah, so you can't.
And I'm trying to actually create more coaches. I've got some people that I'm working with because that's what I do. I'm like, awesome. You know. So I'm trying to make availability for fucking employment for people.
Cool.
Awesome. You know? Tom, what are you working on? What's coming up? Where can we find you online?
You can find me online. We got Ask Your Grind Podcast.
Yeah. One of my favorite shows.
I'll be on it soon.
Yes, we got to make that happen. It would be great.
Yeah,
man.
We have to because there's just him and Patrick together to just do a mailbag episode would be one of the most amazing.
You know what we want to do? We do we'll play all new shit, like new bands and stuff.
Oh, shit.
I want you to do that. Because you could legit get away with being like, yo, this sucks.
All
and
right.
No one's but you wouldn't do that.
I'd be like, this ain't my cup of tea.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah.
I hate when people just hate and say stupid
no,
shit.
No,
like, yo.
But I think that would be a fun listen, or you could do
mailbag. I want people to cry.
Yeah. Oh, Danny, I liked you so much. Yeah, like, my music sucks.
That's sad. I would never do that.
No, we don't try to do that. Like,
what
we
about
don't try to
anything coming up in Decision, Most Precious Bloodwise? I know you got the Long Island show with GB coming up.
Right, and there's two
anything
things.
Else you can talk about or not yet?
No, two things in a row.
Okay. So we'll keep you posted here. So, guys, thank you again to our guest, Gavin and Tom.
Thank you.
Episode number 10.
Much.
Be sure to sign up for the email
list,
DiabloZen.com. Check
episode
it out.
10.
Check us out on YouTube. Like, subscribe, share. Thanks again, guys. Everybody, we'll see you for episode 11.
Peace.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX, and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.